Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, or maybe I should say good evening, I don't know. But it's still a day, and we're a day early because we thought we'd try out this nighttime slot. But anyway, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. So if you're new to this time slot, or you're new to this broadcast, we're just doing kind of a trial run to see if we can pick up a few more listeners, if nighttime's better, because we just weren't getting a whole lot of traction in the early morning hours. And people said, well, I have to work or whatever. If the program was at night, then we're at a different time. So we thought we'd give it a try, a different time. So if you're hearing this and you're used to hearing Discount Gold and Silver rebroadcast at this time, Discount Gold and Silver will follow this broadcast. So stick around for the whole broadcast, and then either that or you can go listen to Discount Gold and Silver on the podcast right now. Yeah, even if you don't want to hear me and what I have to say, so you don't have to miss anything, you can still stay tuned to First Amendment Radio by listening to the podcast. Anyway, this is our Prophecy Reality Edition, and if you're listening live, like I said, come on over to the chat room. We even have the studio cam on, even though it's kind of weird because it's nighttime outside and I'm used to being on during the daytime. What are we going to talk about today? Well, I thought since maybe there's new people, Blaine is here. You are now competing with Coast to Coast AM with George Snorri. Yes, okay, well, thank you for that, Blaine. Maybe he needs a little competition out there for true Bible-believing Christians. That's what I was hoping. So maybe I can get some of those coast-to-coast listeners over here. It might be kind of hard to tear them away, though, from George Snorri. I never listened to George Snorri just because, he has too much weird out there non-reality stuff. I can watch The Twilight Zone anytime I want on demand, if I wanted The Twilight Zone, because basically that's what George Snorri is. Though if he has me on, well, then, but he probably will never have me on, you know, about my book that I wrote, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, and my up-and-coming book. Maybe he'll have me on for that one, but I kind of doubt that too. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'd do a little introductory show anyway to kick it off. And I'd start out with some good news. And the good news is that there is a kingdom. And it's a kingdom like any of the kingdoms of this world. And the great thing about this kingdom is that when you cross the border into this kingdom, yeah, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, that it's a kingdom, and it's the only kingdom that will last forever. And now that's good news, because if you can get there, so you get eternal life and you get to live forever. Because, of course, Jesus paid the price with his blood so that you could cross the border into his kingdom. And that's why I call my broadcast Cross the Border, because it's about the kingdom of God. And my master, my king, the king of the kingdom of heaven, he shed his blood so that we could enter in. Okay? But something else happened. He showed up about 2,000 years ago approximately. And when he became of age to fill that priestly office that he was born for, that he was born into, when he was about 30 years old, he went to be baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin that was 6 months older than he was. And there, the Heavenly Father proclaimed that who he was, the Holy Spirit, and John. So we have three witnesses there, the Father, and we have the heavenly witness of the voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." We saw that the Holy Spirit lighted on him in the form of a dove. And John's disciples were told to follow him. He said, "I must decrease and he must increase," indicating that Jesus, or Yahshua, was the Messiah. And so he went about, from that day, he went about preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." Now, you know, I know there's a lot of other gospels out there today, and they hate repentance. They don't believe they have to repent. They have an easy believism gospel that they preach, and some of them even preach that the Word of God is done away with. There's the New Apostolic Reformation. There's the emerging church movement. You name it, and they got it. There's a deception and a gospel. There's a rapture gospel. We talk about that quite a bit. I wrote a book, "The Rapture Will Be Canceled," just kind of to introduce everyone to the idea and introduce them to, well, what the historical, the biblical and historical position is on the Antichrist and the resurrection and all of those prophecies that have been twisted into left behind rapture eschatology. So the good news is that this life isn't it. That we don't just get to die and turn to dirt, but if we trust in what Jesus did, the work that he did on the cross, that by his blood we have a pass to enter into his kingdom now. And it's very important that we enter into his kingdom now. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." You know, here's my hand, all right? And my hand can only get so far away from me. And if you have a hand, and most of you have two of them, your hand is only so far. It's within your reach. That's what it means when Jesus said that the kingdom is at hand. It was within your reach, and he was pointing the way to the kingdom. And he said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." There's a key there. You know, it's like if the kingdom had a door, repentance would be the key to open that door. The key to forgiveness is repentance, because without repentance, there is no forgiveness. So I've said it 1,000 times before, and I'm going to say it again. I am not greater than my master. I will preach the same gospel, the same good news that he preached. Now, repentance, to when he said repent, for the kingdom is at hand, repent is not a bad word. And that's part of the good news, is that repent is not a bad word. Now, it's translated into your King James Bible and whatever other Bibles you have, if they still use the word repent. It's translated from two Greek words, basically. Meta, which means to change. You know, like to metamorphosis means to change your shape or something that changes, transitions from one type into another type of shape. Like the butterfly goes through metamorphosis when it builds the cocoon and it changes into a butterfly. So meta means change, simply. Meta noeo, the two Greek words there, and they mean to change your mind. So Jesus went about, and he went about saying, "Change your mind. The kingdom is at hand." So what do you have to change your mind about? Well, you have to change the way you think about things. It's just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. That's right, 2,000 years ago. It is just applicable today as it was then. And that's why I say, I'm not greater than my master. I preach the same message. I may use different words. I may say, cross the border into the kingdom. But I'm still saying, repent, because the kingdom is at hand. And the way to cross that border is you change your mind. Because it is a spiritual kingdom. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's right. Only we can only enter in spiritually. So we change our mind about the things that are separating us from God, all of the things that the world teaches us to do. And there are many clues, and you know, I probably don't have to tell anyone that's listening to this or that will ever hear this video or hear my voice or hear this sermon that I'm preaching right now. I don't have to tell any of you that what it is that is individually separating you from God. Because right now, you know, because right now the Holy Spirit is revealing it to you. And you know, it may be more than one thing, but the Holy Spirit usually, when He begins a work in someone's life, He zeroes right in on the biggest thing that is separating you from God. It's like that big thing that's in your way, that's blocking your view, and you can't quite see around it. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to zero in on when He starts working in. And now, if you've been following, you know, you've been walking the kingdom road, the repentance way, for some years, you know that as soon as you get that biggest thing out of your way, then the next biggest thing that is separating you from God pops up to take its place. So that repentance road never ends. It's a road that lasts your whole lifetime. But don't despair. It gets easier. And you're not alone. You know, Jesus said that He would finish the work that He began in us. So He never leaves us alone. And He gives us plenty of light so that we don't lose our way on that repentance road. Another way of looking at it, and this doesn't sound like a lot of fun either, and I have to admit that, you know, it is not a lot of fun. He said, pick up your cross and follow Me. You know, that means pick up your cross and follow Me means that you have to walk that repentance road. That means you have to crucify the deeds of the flesh. And here we're talking about the same things. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you of sin. That is the first job of the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and starts to clean house. And He starts to convict you of sin. And He starts to instruct you how to walk in God's kingdom. And as you fall down, you get back up and He helps you up. And you don't despair because God gives you more light. He gives you enough light to keep you going, to walk, so that He can conform you to the image of His only begotten Son, into the man that He created you to be. He doesn't want to destroy us because He loves us, and He created each one of us individually unique. He doesn't want us, you know, to be a bunch of little Jesuses, carbon copies of Jesus. He does want us conformed to His image. He wants His righteousness imputed to us. He wants us to be perfect as He is perfect, but He does not want to destroy us because He loves us and He knows who He created each one of us to be, completed in Christ when we're done walking this mortal road of repentance. And when, you know, the scripture says that when we see Him, we will be like Him, but we will still be us. And not only that, we will be like Him in so many other ways. And see, that's part of the good news, is one, we don't have to die. You know, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And He willingly gave up His life. He laid it down. He went to the cross willingly so that His blood could be applied to our debt account. So that when we cash in our chips, so to speak, when our mortality ends and we go into the grave, that death is going to say the same thing that death said to Jesus. Because death is going to look at us and it's going to see the blood of Jesus on us. And death is going to say, I have no claim on you. And we will rise. That's right. We will rise from the dead and we will have eternal life through Christ forever. And all of the promises of God are ours. Those are the promises. And you know, once you grab a hold of that, once you believe it and you have faith in it, then it makes walking the repentance road, it makes carrying the cross and following Jesus worth every minute of it. And it helps, it gives you the strength to endure when you see that God gives us a glimpse of the things that he has in store for those that love him. And that's the good news. So if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if you're not a believer, then repent. Change your mind. And ask him to help you. Ask him to come in and ask him for his comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come in you and to help you clean up your life so that you can live a life that is pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, ask him to put that desire in you. You know, please, Heavenly Father, put that desire in me so that I can walk in your kingdom, so that I can learn obedience. I can learn to live in such a way that's pleasing to you. You know, give me that desire because I want to grab a hold of eternal life through Christ Jesus. I want all of the promises of God and I don't want to lose them. I mean, because they're, you know, you can live this life, and this life has so many rewards in it. There are riches, there's the pride of life, there's pleasure, all of the things that this life has to offer, but nothing can compare with the deal that Jesus worked out for us by his own blood. There is nothing that compares, because with all of this other stuff, it all ends when your mortality ends. And look around. Nobody's living forever in this mortal life. Everyone goes to the grave. Now Jesus rose from the grave, and yes, you have to believe that. You will rise from the dead on the day that God has promised. See, because there is an element of faith to it. But that faith will grow in you as you walk in Christ. So he says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So endurance. See, there's another one of those tough words like carrying the cross and repent and endure. But you know what? We have suffering and we have tribulation and we have pain in this life regardless. It's just, how are you going to apply those things when they happen to you? How are you going to apply them? What account are you going to apply the suffering and the pain, the anguish, the anxiety, and all of the uncomfortable things that this life will give you? You know, there's no escaping these things. You know, just where are you going to apply them? Well, I choose to apply them to the cross, to carrying the cross. And see, carrying the cross or enduring, it brings all of those things. But you get all of those things whether you follow Christ or not. So you don't follow Christ, you get all of the pleasures and all of the riches, and or at least the hope of the riches. Because most people will never get the riches or the fame or all of the things that they think they desire in this life. But they'll become a slave to them. You know, there'll probably be more people in hell that were covetous, and in hell for their covetousness, that only bought a lottery ticket every week, wanting to strike it rich because they coveted the things that the rich people have. So, but, you know, most likely most people will never get those things, but the things you will get, you'll get pleasure with your life, and you'll get happy times, and there'll be times of joy. But there will also be times of sorrow, suffering, pain, anguish. We all go through all of these things regardless. But the promise is that when we rise from the dead, in the resurrection, when we see him, we will be like him. And all of those things will be washed away forever. And that's the good news. So, you know, I preach and I bid everyone everywhere to cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. And because there is absolutely nothing more important. And Ty in the chat room, and if you're not in the chat room, come on over. It's Tuesday night, a little after 8 p.m. Pacific time. And he talks about the fear of God. I know the fear of God. The fear of God moves me, like it moved David. It corrects me. See, because what I would fear is to lose the prize. I would fear going astray because I see the whole world has gone astray. And if I think for a minute I could sin and get away with it and not go astray, I'd be only deceiving myself. So the fear of God keeps us in line because I'm no better than, you know, really. You know, I don't know why. You know, I'm not out there in the world indulging in sin and, you know, buying lottery tickets and going to the bars or doing drugs and all that stuff. Why? I'm on the repentance road, walking in God's kingdom and suffering for His sake rather than for the sake of all those pleasures that the world has to offer. Okay? One way or another, you're going to suffer. Might as well suffer for the kingdom's sake, because the reward is the best deal out there. I'll put it that way. No one has come up with a better deal. And I've heard a lot of deals out there, but you know what the world has to offer you? The atheists, you know, they talk about the Bible. It's just an old book of fables. And, you know, they don't believe because they don't want to believe, because they don't want to give up their sin and the pleasure and the things that this life has to offer, or their riches, or their pride, or whatever. They don't want to give it up, but what do they have to offer me? You know, a lifetime full of pleasure, then dirt? Well, the fact is this. I can have as much pleasure in life following Jesus if I'm satisfied with good pleasure. I can enjoy my family, and I can enjoy, you know, the smile of a baby, or the sunset, or a camping trip with my family. And I can still have the same sorrows as everyone else. I can suffer pain too, just like they will. But, like I said, the good news is in the end, my real reward is not getting old and becoming decrepit and dying, which is, you know, kind of what we have to look forward to when you get about my age. And, you know, you start downhill from there when you get into your 60s. And, you know, those old genes start switching off, and they stop repairing themselves, and that's just the inevitability of the curse that is upon us. We shall surely die, but thanks be to God, through the blood of Jesus, we will rise again. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about prophecy and what's to come. When I get back, don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Visit CrossTheBorder.org, CROSS, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's CrossTheBorder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce, in the minds of all, this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit CrossTheBorder.org, CROSS, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, the rapture will be canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We're trying out a new time slot. We have a couple of new people, although I know Blaine, he's been around for quite a while, but he probably, for some reason, probably works during the day like I do, but can't catch the live show. And Ty, I guess Ty's a new listener. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe he just listens to the rebroadcast before. And we need to get more people over here. So JDB joins the room, whoever that is. Let's see. There is a link. If you go to Prophecy Reality, I'm going to put this link in the chat room. This stupid thing. I can't. Yeah, it won't let me copy the link location. See what I right click on, say copy link location. Can you do that?
Yep.
From this prophecy, the page on my website, this one here, and put that link from the Facebook thing there. And we'll put that link. Maybe we can get a few more people to come over to the chat room right now. Anyway, it's Tuesday evening at 8:35. So if you're listening on Wednesday morning, we did this broadcast last night and you missed it. Our premier Tuesday night broadcast, okay? Thought we'd give it a try. And anyway, James is going to put a link in the chat room so you can post it in your Facebook feed right now. Yeah, right now. So do that. And maybe I'll do it again to make sure it works. There it is. Yes, it says opens up and says, yes, post to Facebook. We'll post it again. There we go. That's what we need to do. See if we can get some more people to come over to the chat room. Ty has been in the chat room before, says Thomas WW. Okay. Anyway, so we talked about the good news in the previous segment here. And the good news is that Jesus paid the price for our sins with his own blood so that we could be resurrected from the dead when our mortality comes to its end, one way or another. Now, we are living in the last days, or perhaps specific, we could say the end times, because it's been the last days ever since the first century, according to a Bible definition of the last days. But we are in the end time. You know, the very last days. As a matter of fact, we have less than 40 years before the seventh millennium begins. And now, some of you may not know, or you may have heard me say it before, or you may think that I'm out of my mind and that nobody can really know what I'm going to tell you. But I say if you read your Bible, you can know. You can be pretty close to knowing when Jesus will return. And, you know, the Hebrew people, the Hebrew nation, the Jews of the first century under Roman rule, there were some fellows there. they were looking for Jesus, you know, James and John and, you know, all those boys. Yeah, they were kind of looking for the Messiah. And one of them says to his brother, come, we have found the Messiah. Read that in the Gospels, yeah. And so anyway, they were looking for the Messiah, and they had knowledge that they could only get by reading the Scripture. See, because God revealed to the Hebrew nation through the prophet Daniel what year the Messiah was going to show up. So while there might have been a little confusion, because there were other people that knew about this prophecy and claiming to be the Messiah, but you know, they came and they died and stuff, you know, and so none of them really worked out too well. But when they found Jesus, well, somehow they knew that they found the Messiah, and especially these boys that started to follow him because the Holy Spirit was calling them to follow. So they knew to the year. And that prophecy is called the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. And it was from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. There was 483 years. Yeah, exactly. To the year. Right. I don't know about to the day. That's a little too much, you know, fine calculating for me. But I know it was to the year because I've done the work. And I've done the study, and I looked at the calendation and got it all mapped and charted out for you so that you'll know, just like those boys knew, and that's why they were looking for the Messiah, because they knew he was supposed to show up soon. You know, they had a year window, and when you have a year window, say, well, give or take a year, you really had a three-year window to look in. So it's kind of weird. That's what I say. If you have a, could be a year, plus or minus, so it could be a 2 or 3 year window that we're looking at. So just like they knew, and were looking for the Messiah, and of course they found him in Jesus, and they became his disciples, and then they became apostles, some of them. And we know the whole story because some of them wrote epistles and told us all about what happened. And they also wrote the Gospels. So they knew what year because they read the prophecy. And the 70 weeks were fulfilled, and Jesus showed up for the last week. And in the middle of the week, just like the prophecy said, that he was cut off, not for himself, but for the people. And in the middle of the week, he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. And I say that, you know, if you don't understand that, then you don't really understand the gospel at all. If you don't understand the fact that Jesus put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself, you don't understand the gospel at all, because that's where his blood comes in. That's where he paid the price for this, our sins, with his own blood. That's why we can apply his blood to our account and rise from the dead, because that's what happened in the middle of that 70th and last week of Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. So, I think there's a little parallel there, and I believe just like God revealed to the Hebrew nation, you know, that Jewish nation, in the first century under Roman rule, what year? Yes, all the way 483 years prior, they should have known what year is coming. But you know how it gets kind of more exciting when you're near the end of a long prophecy like that. And you know, that's kind of what we're getting near the end of a long prophecy. Now we're like 40 years before the end of the prophecy or the foretold return of Christ. And I say, give or take a year, 2055 is about it. And if you're really interested in that, because I'm going to tell you, it's in the Bible, you can find this timeline. And this timeline runs from Genesis, the creation account, all the way up to Jesus' day. So there is a chronology in the Bible itself that runs from the creation account all the way up to the days that Jesus walked on the earth. right up there. And so from there we have to jump over to the Roman calendation system, and we add those years to the years that are in the, from the Genesis, the Old Testament account, coming up to when Jesus walked on the earth. And we know that it was 483 years from the going forth of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem that Jesus showed up at the Jordan River baptism and was declared the Messiah. Yes, the Messiah stepped onto the scene, because it said 483 years or 7 weeks and 62 weeks of years. You know, kind of like we have decades, 10-year periods. They had weeks of year periods, or 7-year periods that they counted. Of course, because it was God's nation and they were using his calendation, and everything was divided up into 7 years. So, of course, they used weeks of years. And so they knew 483 years, 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince. And voila, there he was. 30 years old, qualified for the priesthood, of age to serve. And then we have the three witnesses, and then he began his ministry for the last in the 70th week of Israel being a set-apart nation for God, because God was going to birth a whole new nation. And when the 70 weeks were up, the gospel then went to the Gentiles. Because remember, Jesus said during while he was walking the earth and ministering, he says, "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," indicating that he was in the 70th week, and the primary focus was still Israel, because the 70th week hadn't passed yet. And after Jesus was crucified and died and then was resurrected, and then he showed himself to, you know, quite a few people and stuck around for I don't know how many days, but for a little while, and then he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to, and so the disciples, they continued to work for the remainder of the 70th week in Israel for the countrymen there, and a lot of people believed, yes, especially after Pentecost, and the church was added to daily. You could read all about it yourself in the Gospels. And when it was done, however, then the Gospel went to the nations, the Gentiles. That's what the word Gentiles means. In context, usually in the Gospels, it means, or in the Old Testament, it usually means other nations. And so the Gospel went to the other nations, but something else happened at the same time. Israel, yeah, the Jews, Israel lost its special set-apart status as a set-apart nation of God. And now that nation, national Israel, well, what ensued was the time of Jacob's trouble, and that would last up until 70 AD. And it really began when Jesus was shed his blood on that cross, because as a nation, Jesus was rejected. And for 40 years, that 40-year period from 30 AD, from the cross to 70 AD, is what I call the time of Jacob's trouble. I know that doesn't fit with futurists left behind eschatology, but that was the time of Jacob's trouble, because the sacrifice wasn't working anymore. The temple was, you know, damaged. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. God was not accepting their sacrifice anymore. That's right, because Jesus put an end to that sacrifice. It was now an abomination. It was an unacceptable sacrifice. Yeah. So, there you have it. I guess I need a sip of coffee. I think I just completed something here. So anyway, that we know that that happened, and that's the reality, and that's not what most people have learned. Most people have learned rapture, you know, left behind futurist rapture eschatology. And here's some more bad news for, you know, I'm glad I found out about it. And that's why I'm out here, you know, trying to inform other people that the rapture is Antichrist eschatology. It's, the Antichrist wants you to believe in the rapture, because it sets you up for his great delusion and deception. That's what rapture is. Okay, that's what rapture is, because there's three of them. Now, everyone who holds their position, I guess they believe they have the only one. But it's a multiple choice rapture. And everyone, just ask anyone who believes any of the raptures. What if I believe in the other one, one of the other ones that you don't believe in? That's all right. You're wrong, but it's okay. You chose that one of the multiple three raptures. But the bad news is that all of the raptures are a deception. It's all Antichrist eschatology. It was brought about by a Jesuit priest, yes, part of the Antichrist Church, named Francisco Ribera. About 500 years ago, this Antichrist eschatology was born. The rapture, it was built upon later by other men and developed into the whole left behind three raptures eschatology, and got to throw in that 7-year tribulation deception, because they took Daniel's 70th week, which we just discussed, that it was completely fulfilled. And let's take a look at that for a minute here. The Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, let me see, I do have a Bible here, and if I open that up to probably one of these fast bookmarks here. Ah, Daniel 9, there it is. Okay, I have it on one of my bookmarks. And it starts out, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, that's one, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Those six things were completely finished within the 70 weeks. And, you know, that's their argument. A lot of them will say, well, they'll say something like, well, sin hasn't come to an end. That's what they'll say. Let me put this on the screen here. And this is the complete text of the Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy from the Authorized King James Version. Now, if you have one of those newer versions, it may say something different, but they'll say all of these things haven't been done. Okay, but see, it doesn't matter what you say or what they say. The only thing that matters is, what does God's Word say? Does God's Word say that the transgression was finished? That an end was made of sins? That reconciliation was made for iniquity? Everlasting righteousness has been brought in, and that the vision and the prophecy is sealed up. Oh yes, and was the Most Holy anointed? Mm-hmm. See, does the Bible say these six things happen by the time that the gospel went to the Gentiles? Yeah. Well, I say, yes, it does say those things. And I have a list for you. As a matter of fact, I've outlined these things in my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And more good news, you know, if you haven't read the book, my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, you can get a free copy. Yeah, a free PDF copy of it, or EPUB copy, absolutely free, won't cost you a dime. All you got to do is sign up for my blog and share anything on my blog you like. And then say, I've done it, and I'll send you a link so that you can get a free copy of those books. Not only that, not only will you get a free copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, but there will also be an EPUB of Jorge Apocalypticae 2015. And that is the abridgment of E.B. Eliot's Jorge Apocalypticae. And you'll want that for your library. So that's also available in the same directory. So you can, you know, you're really signing up for both of those resources when you sign up for, to get my book. So go to my website, crosstheborder.org, that's C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, and click on the free ebook tab and sign up for those, and you'll get both of those free. You can read the comments there and stuff if you want. If you prefer paperback, those are available too. Just click on the get the book tab. And you can purchase a paperback direct. It'll be mailed to you direct from the printer. So, okay. And so, okay, yeah, we're going to talk about those six things in the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. And I'm going to show you that all six of those things have absolutely, unbelievably been fulfilled, not according to me, but according to God's word. Okay? So I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take God's word for it. And we have a few minutes. We're going to go on for another two segments. Got a break coming up in a few minutes. Let me check the chat room. Like I said, when I come back, we'll jump into that, because I hate to kind of take a long break in the middle of something. So let's go to the chat room, see if we got any questions, comments. Anyone wants to call in, like, right now? Not 5 minutes from now. Right now would be good. And you could call in. The number's there at the chat room, or you can just 559-797-8537. And if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that. So, okay. Hope everyone is being enlightened and enjoying the broadcast so far. So make sure you, if you haven't subscribed to my blog, make sure you do it, like I said, and take advantage of that there. Also, if you read my book, and I do ask people to voluntarily put a review on Amazon. I only have 8 reviews on Amazon so far, and I've given away hundreds of copies of my book. It's kind of disheartening that so many people are willing to go over there and actually write a review for the book. So I can only say, please, please do that for me. And the link is in the free ebook page there. So if you go to that free ebook page at crosstheborder.org, you can find the link and read the other Amazons. And even if you hate the book and you've got some problems with it, I don't mind negative reviews. You know, it'll help me. Might even change my mind. Who knows? Maybe something that I missed in the Bible. I haven't seen everything. Or you may have some more insight, or maybe you have an idea of how I could say something better, so that I may have to do a revised edition of the book. Right now, I am working on a new book, and the new book, the working title, I don't know what the exact title is going to be, but the working title is, When the Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And it's gonna be good. I'm feeling real good about it. I'm feeling good about the 5 chapters that I have written. 4-5 chapters, because, you know, there's a lot of rewriting going on when you're writing a book. So anyway, and all of you, that anyone can add me to your prayers and ask God to help me to write this book and to convey whatever it is He wants me to convey in this book. But, I'm feeling good about it. It'll probably be early next year, to tell you the truth, before it's published. Unless I really get, you know, some inspiration. Because if I can write a few paragraphs in a sitting, that's doing really good, to tell you the truth. Because I do have a lot of work to do. The Heavenly Father keeps me very busy. And anyone around me who knows me can attest to that. What do you say there?
Yeah.
This very, very busy. So when you work for the Heavenly Father, no time is wasted, let me tell you. He keeps you very busy. He's not a hard taskmaster, but He does keep you busy. You can work at a nice, comfortable pace and never run out of stuff to do. As a matter of fact, you have to say, whoa, you know, and take that Sabbath break, okay? Yeah, because He commands it. So, anyway, let me see. I got 2 different clock times here. Let me see what's going on. And what time is this? Oh, okay. Yeah, just a few more, 1 more minute. Okay, so last time, we'll be back in about 7 minutes once we go to the break. So while I'm on the break, go to my website, sign up, or go to Amazon and write the review. Crosstheborder.org, free ebook tab. If you already got the book, click on the Amazon and write a review. Anything. Bad, good, a few 10 words or 100 words. I'm just asking you to help me out. I need hundreds of reviews on Amazon. Then people might start to pay attention. And usually if you're here, you're here and listening to this broadcast because you're of the same mind. So you can help me out that way. Okay, sing a song, James. Oh, he says no thanks. I'm going to have to get a camera just to point at him. What's the name of the new book? Oh, the working title. I don't really have a title yet. The working title is When the Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. Okay. Oh, that was just the tone. The music isn't playing yet.
Jesus bled and died.
years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Chris Woodward. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are toe-to-toe in Florida today as the presidential candidates try to gain ground heading into the November election. Mark Smith reports.
With the number of states truly in play dwindling, Clinton told a rally in Coconut Creek her biggest foe may be the feeling the race is over.
It's going to be a close election. Pay no attention to the polls. Don't get complacent.
Trump, too, slammed the polls, insisting in Sanford, Floridians he sees voting early are wearing his colors.
The white hat, this hat, they're wearing buttons all over the place. I think those are people that are inclined to vote for us. Do you agree?
In fact, officials say Florida's large early vote turnout's about even between Democrats and Republicans.
Several Christian groups are calling for prayer and fasting as Election Day approaches. AFN's Steve Jordahl has that story.
For the nation to heal, the church has to first come before God in humility and repentance, according to Pastor Michael Anthony of GodFactor.com. He's asking Christians to join with him in a week of prayer, fasting, and repentance starting this coming Sunday.
It's a simultaneous, nationwide movement of God and people focused on humility and repentance at this key time in America's history.
You can sign up to participate at revivalmatters.com.
The action guides will walk a person and a family and a church through reflective questions, passages of scripture, simultaneously with other people around the nation, no matter where they live, and help people rediscover the importance of humility in confessing our sin before God.
The American Family Association is also asking you to pray and fast the day before the election. Spokesman Buddy Smith says there's never been a more important time in this country's recent history.
Well, one doesn't have to listen to many newscasts today to know that we're in trouble in our nation.
The AFA family will be taking Monday, November 7th, to come before God.
The American Family Association is calling on Christians around this nation on the day before the election this year to set aside this day as a day of earnestly seeking God in prayer and making fasting a part of that.
You can find out more about that at afaaction.net. I'm Steve Jordahl.
Busch Gardens Tampa Bay in Florida says it is not taking any chances following a theme park accident that killed four adults in Australia. Busch Gardens has shut down the Congo River Rapids ride in Tampa Bay, which the park says is similar to the ride that malfunctioned yesterday at Dream World, the Australian theme park. Investigators tell AUBC two rafts collided and one overturned, trapping the victims against a conveyor belt used to move the rafts through the water.
We're currently utilizing the services of 30 detectives from both the Gold Coast Criminal Investigation Branch and the State Crime Command in order to assist with investigations. We are also utilizing the services of a significant number of scientific police.
The head of Dreamworld says he is devastated and shocked by the accident. An international rights group says homemade landmines planted by the Islamic State group have killed and wounded hundreds of civilians, including dozens of children, in a town recently freed of terrorists in northern Syria. Human Rights Watch says it's collected the names of 69 civilians killed by improvised mines in schools, homes, and on roads in Manbij during a five-day investigation this month. Kurdish-led forces retook Manbij in August, more than 2 years after terrorists moved in. Back to the U.S. now, where FanDuel and DraftKings will pay $6 million apiece to New York State to resolve lawsuits alleging the daily fantasy sports companies engaged in false advertising. New York's Attorney General announced the agreement Tuesday. It ends a legal fight that saw FanDuel and DraftKings briefly halt operations in New York earlier this year after the Attorney General said their business amounted to illegal gambling. In final news this hour, dominant pitching and power hitting led the Cleveland Indians to a shutout win over the Chicago Cubs in Game 1 of the World Series. Matt Lodi has more.
Cleveland got two runs in the first off. Cubs starter John Lester added a third in the fourth on a Roberto Perez solo home run, and then Perez came back in the eighth with a three-run shot to put the game away. Matt Lodi, Cleveland.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our prophecy. Whoops. Am I on? Oh, okay. I didn't see my monitor working. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our prophecy reality edition. And welcome back from the break. We had some news there. I wasn't listening to it, so I don't know if there was any good news or not. But we have the good news here. And the good news is that Jesus' blood applied to your sins will free you from the penalty of sin and death. That's right. You get to rise from the dead on the resurrection day. Or, hey, if you hang around for about 40 years, a little less than that now, if our calendation is correct, in this beginning of the seventh millennia, you will be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. That's the resurrection, not the rapture. The raptures will go by in the meantime. We're talking about Daniel's 70th week, and some people have an objection. They say, but Daniel's 70th week can't, 70 weeks can't be fulfilled because certain things didn't happen. But if I can show you that everything that was supposed to happen in the 70 weeks happened, will you believe it then? And the objection is that, I think I had a note before. If anyone's over in the YouTube chat room, come on over to FirstAmendmentRadio.com and click on the chat button, because that's where everybody is, if you're wondering. We don't want you to be alone over there on the YouTube channel. So, just a note. And it is Tuesday evening at 9:07 p.m. And so we're trying a nighttime slot. So if you're listening on Wednesday morning, yeah, this was live last night. So enjoy the show and then show up next Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. and we'll do the full 2-hour broadcast with you rather than without you. Hey, Bass Trackers made it to the room. So no news is good news. Yes. And it's even getting hot in here, but I think it's just me. 81 degrees. Yes, that, yeah, I know. Okay, so anyway, we were going to talk about, I was going to tell you about what things were fulfilled. And you can find all of these on my, in my book, in one of the chapters about the 70th week there. But anyway, we were looking at, the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, and there are six things that were going to happen within the 70 weeks. These have to happen according to Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined, and it says, to finish the transgression, that's one, to make an end of sins, two, to make reconciliation for iniquity, three, to bring in everlasting righteousness, four, to seal up the vision and prophecy, five, and to anoint the most holy. Six things that must happen that tell us that the entire 70 weeks was fulfilled, and that we have a viable prophecy. And we talked about all of these other things in the previous two broadcasts, well, three broadcasts. Last week, I kind of didn't talk about prophecy too much, but the couple before that, we zeroed in on the rest of this prophecy. But so we're going to take care of the part that is the first verse of the four-verse prophecy. Daniel 9:24, we're going to talk about that right now, and we're going to show you how all of those things were fulfilled. So let me get my list and let me pull up the page from my book here. And there it is. Maybe I'll even put it on the screen if I can get it zeroed in here. There we go. And there we go. It's on the screen. And let me see. The purpose. Yeah, the six purposes of the 70 weeks. These are the six things that must be fulfilled. And this is from page 56 on the paperback version of my book. And which chapter is this? This is the Daniel 70 weeks challenge chapter. Okay? And so, one, to finish the transgression. And like I said, don't take my word for it. God's word said all of these six purposes were fulfilled within the 70 weeks. And so I'm going to show that to you from God's word. And so, right here we have it. The ultimate transgression of the Hebrew people is expressed by Peter, and to finish the transgression. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And then Stephen, immediately before being martyred, proclaims, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Thus we see that the thy people of Daniel 9:24 included the very ones who were responsible for the death of their Messiah. The national transgression is complete. Two, to make an end of sins. And this is where a lot of the futurists have a problem, because they think, well, people are still sinning and sin still goes on. And you know, they're right about that. And so they say that, but they say that the 70th week is going to be complete just before Jesus comes, with the 70th week being their 7-year tribulation. I say deception. They say period before Jesus comes. But see, the problem with that is that if you study into the millennial reign of Christ, you're going to understand that there are going to be mortals being born on the planet that will sin during that time. And at the end of that time, there is the Gog and Magog war, where Satan is loosed for a season to gather them to battle, you know, as an organizing force for evil in the world, to bring them to judgment. So, see, that doesn't work. And right here, let's go back to our scriptural references, and we're going to show you that this did happen, that an end was made of sin. And as I write here in my book, this does not mean that men will never sin again, as some of the futurist camp would argue, for the scripture confirms that men will even sin in the millennium after the great tribulation of the futurist interpretation. So this argument is against their own unscriptural view as well. Our New Testament writers confirm the true meaning. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. Then again, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. And this is what it means to put an end to sins. He did. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sin has an end by him. And by him alone does sin have its end. So he did make an end of sin. Three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Okay? We find nothing so clear as the following. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We're reconciled. We were reconciled. A second witness. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins, reconciliation for iniquity, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Three down, three to go. To bring in everlasting righteousness. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. That from the Old Testament, Isaiah. And Peter confirms the Messiah, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. And yes, our righteousness, the righteousness that we have from Jesus, from the work that he did on the cross in shedding his blood, is an everlasting righteousness. So is there any doubt that he did usher in everlasting righteousness? Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Ah, number five here. To seal up the vision and the prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, that pretty much seals it up right there. Jesus was the great prophet of whom Moses and the prophets foretold. Jesus, his disciples, and Paul all prophesied. Since the days of these, no new writings of the saints are considered the prophecy of God and added to the Bible. It is sealed up in the works of Christ and the men he chose to complete the Holy Writ. Number six, to anoint the Most Holy. Stephen calls Jesus the Holy One and Just in Acts 3:14. And Peter testifies how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In summary, all six of these purposes were fulfilled during the period immediately following the appearance of the Messiah. The 70th week of Daniel did immediately follow the 69th. Should we be surprised? No. There is nothing in the text to move the final week off to some undetermined fulfillment. In the words of the Messiah, it is finished. And so, that's from my book. And like I said, if you haven't read it, then you need to get a copy of it. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and click on that free book tab and take advantage of that. And if you've already read it again, and write a review over there at Amazon. Okay, I think there was a question in the chat room, if I can refresh my memory. And I think I put a link in the chat room to kind of address that. And I think the question was, what happens? What was that question? Oh, if I can find it here somewhere. Somebody said, no, that's too early. So I'm curious, what's the name of the new book? Okay, I answered that one. What happens when Jesus returns in about 40 years? I kind of know, but wouldn't mind being refreshed. He says, I'm in Chronicles right now. Okay, and I put a link in the chat room there. And there were three shows I did earlier this year. And one was called Before the Tribulation. And one was called During the Tribulation. And the last one was called Beyond the Tribulation. So I talk about the millennial reign of Christ and what goes on. So you can get the whole scoop of before, during, and beyond the tribulation. And then I followed that up with a tribulation timeline, I think. So there's kind of like three or four shows there I did in a row talking about the things that would happen during those periods of time. So check out that link there, Jeremy. And, you know, you may have seen the shows. Maybe you need to rewatch them and see what you think about that. I might have to review those shows myself, because maybe I need to, maybe that should be a chapter in my book. I don't know, in the book I'm writing, how that will fit in. But, you know, it's like my other book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Basically is named after the second chapter of the book, because I wrote the whole book and then I named it after the second chapter. Because it, you know, even though most of the book is not specifically about the rapture, well, it does provide answers for all of the twisted eschatology that the rapturists and the futurists use. And I give you a historical, biblical, historical, Protestant interpretation, you know, so you can get the historical interpretation of those passages that are so twisted. And a lot of that, a lot more work, a lot of additional work is going into this book that I'm writing now, when the temple is built. The rapture play will begin. So we're going to talk about the rapture play and just kind of tear it down a little bit more so that people can get on with what we really have to deal with as God's people in the days to come. Because the rapture play is going to start. I don't know when it's going to start. It's whenever they start building that temple over there, and you know, we can see the momentum is continues to roll ahead on that, although there's no word. I know that they raised $100,000 plus. That was in 2014. They had raised the $100,000 to build the temple. And they got a page over there. You can go to the Temple Institute website. And you can even give to them and have a brick in the wall of the of their temple page of a donor. But I suggest you don't do that. You should make sure that you're putting your money into bricks of good, you know, prophecy with well-tempered mortar rather than into the wall of false prophecy and building some abomination temple that they're never going to do a sacrifice in. So I don't think God is going to allow it. And even their prophecy won't allow it. You know, the whole tribulation, 7-year tribulation prophecy, because in the middle of their week, of their juxtaposed pseudo 70th week of Daniel, well, they're going to put an end to the sacrifice and oblation, which means they're never going to allow it in the first place. And, well, that's because, you know, the Antichrist doesn't go for that. They have their bloodless sacrifice of transubstantiation. That's what the true Antichrist has. And plus, you know, so you can see that Islam and the true Antichrist are never going to allow that blood sacrifice on the Temple Mount. Yeah. So, pretty much bank on that one. So if they do build this temple, it's not really going to be a temple like the first two temples where the sacrifice actually took place. It's going to be more like a glorified national synagogue. Because without the blood sacrifice, it's not really the temple. Okay? But they're going to call it the temple anyway, just without a sacrifice. And that's kind of, am I making a prediction on, I'm saying this is a most likely scenario. And I write about that in my book. And you know, many of you have heard me talk about that before. And I also did a little, fictional, video. It's very short. You should check it out. It's developed into one of the chapters in my book. And so it'll be much better in my book. That's coming up, but it's called What Will Happen When the Rapture Doesn't Happen. I believe that's the name of the video. And so you go to my website or the post on my website, well, just put what will happen. Does that work if they put in what will happen in the search box on my website? Anyway, so you can check out there's a little fictional scenario there that to give you kind of an idea, you know, in a few minutes of what will happen during the 7-year tribulation deception period when they build the temple and nobody's raptured. And I can guarantee you, yeah, I can guarantee you that there will be no rapture, that nobody will be raptured either pre, mid, or post. Yes, the post position is where people first wake up and they jump to the post-tribulation. But then if you keep digging, you know, you'll find out that the 7-year tribulation is not even biblical. It's no more biblical than the rapture is, or the raptures, I should say. So anyway, so check that out. Perhaps James will put a link to that post in the website. So all these links, you know, save them till for later, bookmark them or whatever, and come back later and check them out. Because of course, it's more important that you participate in the broadcast. And so anyway, thanks for the question there. Whoever it was that asked the questions, now I forget, Jeremy, and any other comments. Yeah, I know about the chat. I guess I'll check out. Thanks for the heads up on that LDR in the chat room. I'll check out and see if we can get that chat room closed down there, or some kind of notice that people need to come over to the First Amendment Radio chat room. And anyway, we'll see what we can do about that. So what happens when Jesus returns in about 40 years? I kind of know, but with, Oh, he's refreshing the question. And so what happens when Jesus? Well, when we see him, we'll be like him. Well, the resurrection will happen. If that's the question, not the rapture. You know, I'm a firm believer in the resurrection. And really, see, here's what's going on here is that when people go through three raptures, once the temple started to be built, and they go through this whole temple play, and nobody's raptured in 7 or 8 years, what people are going to believe that the Bible is wrong, or that their interpretation of the Bible is wrong, that there is no resurrection that precedes the grave like the Bible, like Paul wrote. But their ecumenical pastors and the Pope will tell them that, that doesn't mean that you won't go to heaven when you die, see? Because that's really the gospel that they've preached for the last 100 years, at least ever since I've been around, is that you get to go to heaven when you die, the gospel. Repeat after me, say the magic words, and, no one will ever snatch you out of his hands, and, you know, all that stuff they say when you accept Jesus and blood, and, you know, once you say the words and all that, that you'll be saved forever, and your salvation is assured if you say the words. And so they tell you all these things, and you jump into this easy believism, and they tell them now you get to go to heaven when you die. See, that's kind of a little different than the gospel that Jesus preached, because Jesus didn't say repent so you can go to heaven when you die. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. We must enter his kingdom now. And to show you how serious that is, entering into his kingdom now, is Jesus said it would be better if you entered the kingdom without your hand, or it would be better if you entered the kingdom crippled than that your whole body and soul be cast in hell. What he was saying, it would be better that if you had to cut something off from your life, it would be better for you to cut off your foot if your foot causes you to stumble than to lose your life. It said, because he said, fear not him who can kill the body, but him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And of course, Jesus was drawing an extreme illustration there. It's like, to put it plainly, you know, if you have a problem with, say, pornography, it would be better to cut it off. You know, take your computer and throw it out the window. So what if you have to miss my program? It would be better for you to miss my program because you can't watch a computer because your computer causes you to stumble than that your whole body and soul be cast into hell. See, it would be better. So it's a very serious thing that we learn to carry the cross. Because if you don't carry the cross, if you don't cut those things off that are separating you from God, then you are in danger of hellfire. And you can't enter the kingdom of God. And it's only if you are in his kingdom, when your mortality comes to its end, that you will be in his kingdom forever. So we enter into the kingdom now. Not later, not when you die. You must enter the kingdom of God now. And he must be your king now. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from these messages.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Back, you're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're just talking about different things today. I got a good question here from LDR in the chat room. He says, we know that the 70th week is fulfilled, but is it possible that Lucifer's great deception is to usher in a counterfeit kingdom of God on earth by counterfeiting Daniel's 70th week in the future? That's a good point. That is the whole point of it. The fact is that when the temple begins to be built, that's when the 7-year deception begins. And the fact that nobody is raptured gives the Antichrist his opportunity to stand up at the end of it. See, because the Antichrist, according to their own, eschatology, what they believe is they do not believe in a bodily, physical return of Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus will physically come back to the earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years. That is official Catholic doctrine. Okay? So they don't believe it for a minute. But it was one of their priests, Francisco Ribeiro, who developed the whole end-time Antichrist scenario that has been built into this futurist, left-behind, rapture eschatology. So when the 7-year tribulation deception begins, That's the point. They start building the temple, or building a temple type building. Okay? And seven, see, because they don't have the power to pull off a rapture. They just don't have that kind of technology. There's no Star Trek transporters, and certainly not one big enough to transport all of the so-called true believers who believe in the rapture off the earth and incinerate them or something so they can pull off this fallacy. So, but that works right into their hand because they officially don't believe in it. So when the 7 years goes by and no one's raptured at either of the three raptures, what they're going to do is they're going to stand back and the 7 year His holy mountain vision will be fulfilled, and they're going to stand up and they're going to say, see, we were right all along. Jesus isn't returning. That's not what the prophecy means. The prophecy means that we are to build God's kingdom on earth through His church and the vicar of Christ on earth, and of course is the Antichrist. And so they will have their phony 1,000-year reign of their amillennial reign, as say there's no actual return of it. And it's anyone who believes, and you can check this out for yourself, anyone who actually believes in a bodily return of Christ and a physical reign of Him on the earth for 1,000 years is a heretic. That is Catholic doctrine. Just look at it. It's called the millenarian heresy. That's Catholic doctrine. That's what they teach. If you believe what we believe, what the Bible plainly states, then you are a heretic. And so when they stand up and it's 7, 8 years past and nobody's raptured, they're going to say, we were right. And people are going to go, yeah, you were right. And they'll say, see, there is no resurrection that precedes the grave. You get to go to heaven when you die. That's the gospel that you've heard for the last 100 years, and people are going to go, oh yeah, we get to go to heaven when we die. That's right. Isn't that right, James? And we get to go to heaven when we die, so who needs a rapture? That was wrong, obviously. You know, what those Protestant turned evangelicals believed and what they taught was wrong. Therefore, the mother church must be right. See, because their eschatology has proved itself out. And now it's time to build the one world, millennial reign of Christ on earth, of course, which will be through the church and through His vicar, the Antichrist, the true Antichrist. But see, here's the problem is Jesus is going to return, but not on their 7 year tribulation deception schedule. He will return for the 7th millennia. Which will be around 2055, give or take a year in either direction. I don't know the exact year. I don't claim to know the exact year, but I can tell you it's about then. And check out my website. Go to my website, put in what year is it, and look at the posting there. It's also a chapter in my book. So if you have my book, you can review it. Although on my website, the posting is a little clearer and the charts are color and all of that. Unless you have the ebook, and then all the charts are colored as big as you want to make them. So, but do check that out. The what year is it? And it's been thoroughly vetted. I haven't been able to make a correction to it for several years now. So we haven't found any errors in it for several years. So do check that out. Any other questions? Let's see, someone else had one. Jesus will reign 1,000 years. All the souls who qualify, the remnant, the elect, the 144,000, those who were decapitated for not denying Jesus, etc., will live the whole 1,000 years with Jesus. It says that we will be resurrected, we will be like Him, we will rule and reign with Him for the 1,000 years. We will not be mortals. And we will not be tempted because we'll be beyond all of that. Praise God. That's all I can say. Praise God, I'll never even be tempted to sin. And that's a desire of a true believer's heart, to never be tempted. And we know that we'll never be tempted. Then, until then, we have to endure the temptations of this life. Though it does get easier as time goes on. So, let's see. There's someone else had something in here that I wanted to address. Let me see. So when Jesus returned, we are changed to be like him. Those who were not believers at the time, okay, yes, there's where the mortals come from that live, that populate, and the millennial reign. There will be a mortal population during the millennial reign of Christ, because though a lot of people will die when Jesus returns, okay, there will be a lot of people that will live through the return of Christ on the earth. And those who are not believers, or those who, you know, I don't know how or what, who gets, you know, I know God gets to make the decision who lives through that. But as long as there's mortals being born, the seed of Adam, you shall surely die. The curse is upon them, just like it's upon us. Their mortal flesh, they will still have to die and go into the grave. Some of them will live longer lives, because it's expressed that people living during that time, that if they don't live 120 years, they'll be thought to have died in their youth, things like that. So there's a few clues scattered throughout the scripture of what it will be like during that time for the mortals and for those of us who are resurrected and glorified and living in our glorified bodies, because we'll be like Jesus when he was resurrected, or like he is now, during that millennial reign. We'll rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years. So that's what'll be going on. There's a lot of questions, like, will there be automobiles? Well, I won't need one. Will the mortals need automobiles? Probably not. Will they have computers? Why would we want all that junk? You know, people think, you know, we're so hooked on our technology. Yes, I like automobiles now, and I like computers now. But will we need those things? I think we'll have newer, better technologies. I believe that a lot of limitations have been put on man since Adam. Immediately, there were a lot of limitations put on man. Immediately when Adam fell, and I believe more limitations were put on man, of course, with the flood. So I think that that mortals may regain some of those things that were lost. Also, Satan will be bound for that 1,000 years. That's why he's loosed at the end to be an organizing force, because the time will be up, the 1,000 years will be up, and it will be time for a new heaven and new earth. So got to sort him out once again. I mean, Satan has his job right now. He's sorting out, you know, the sheep from the goats. Everyone has to decide whether they're going to, you know, follow Jesus or follow, you know, or not follow Jesus, because that's really your only choices. And so as an organizing force for evil at the end, the Satan will be loose, and he'll organize the Gog and Magog war. And, of course, they won't have a prayer against the encampment of the saints, because the scripture says that when they come up against the camp of the saints, that they will just be wiped out at that time. So, and that kind of spans the whole millennial period where Jesus reigns. Can you imagine that? People thinking that at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, that they think they can come gather up against him and overthrow him. But even without Satan, it'll prove one thing, that yes, that the corrupt seed of Adam still makes it possible for people to choose sin and death. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Anything else? Any other good questions I missed? I got it all, man. I got it all. So here's... there's a phone number anyway, 559-797-8537. Got a few minutes left, and if anyone wants to call in, now is the time for you to call in. But anybody's got any ideas for my upcoming book, things I need to include, or things I may have missed, or other ideas, any comments on my, you know, please write that review and address them. And saying, hey, I could have understood this a little bit better. Or you could have gone deeper into this or something. I really need good constructive criticism. I don't get much. Yes. Deplorables, huh? Oh, yeah. You know, I watched some of that the Al Smith dinner. Yeah. Funny stuff, man. I mean, that Trump guy. Oh, here we're talking about the presidential election now. Uh-oh. But yeah, you want a good laugh, look up the Al Smith dinner, and they got the part where Trump spoke, and then they got the part where Hillary spoke. It wasn't as interesting, I have to tell you. But anyway, you just need to pull up a microphone here, man, instead of doing that key clacking over there. He's over there. Yes, typing in to the chat room there, answering questions. So who would rule after? So there are mortals. Let's see. What was the question you're answering over there? Oh, you're kind of debating with WW in the chat room.
I'm saying it's basically that there are mortals that are born during the mortal
yes,
reign.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Who would we rule? What, each other?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'll be part of God's government. And I'm moving, you know, to the Mideast. I may go on field trips out into the world to whatever. I mean, I'm going to do whatever the king wants me to do. You know, he's the king, and I'm sure that I will be happy and satisfied to serve my king in any way he wants me to serve him. Of course, I'm practicing right now at doing that. So, and that's what we all should be doing until Jesus comes or we go to be with him, is we should practice obeying the king. We should be getting ready to, you know, by working in his kingdom now, and then we can work in his kingdom then. So I'm kind of like in school now. I'm in college, in the university of the universe, right? I'm learning what I'm going to do as part of his kingdom government when that time comes. And so it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? I'm not an escapist either. So I really do want to serve my king right now until he comes, even if that's 40 more years, which means I have to live to be a really old man, and some people think I'm old now. But another 40 years, I'll be 100 and something, and I'll still be doing it because I don't plan on retiring. I'm not a socialist, so I don't have a socialist security number, and I'm not going to collect, I'm not going to forget God's benefits and turn to Caesar for his benefits. And I think that's a hook. It's a hook that the Antichrist has in you with his money system. And we know it's the Antichrist money system because it's based upon usury and a false weight and balance monetary system. It's no longer gold and silver. It's no longer substance. What God says, the gold and silver is mine. So a monetary system based on substance is God's money. And that's not what we have today, Satan's monetary system. So we see it evolving into the total mark of the beast. And when they finally do introduce it, it'll be somewhere around after about the time, you know, maybe coincide, but when the 7-year tribulation deception is over and everyone's listening to the beast and everyone's listening to the false prophet and he says, oh yeah, join our one world monetary kingdom of God on earth system. And you know, then you're going to be required to worship the beast and its image. Yes, and the Antichrist and to participate in the one world monetary system. And then those of us, the elect, the remnant, who lived during that period, well, we're going to just have to say no. And it may cost us everything. It may cost us our homes, our livelihoods, our pensions, our socialist security, all of those things that you're counting on. Just realize that it is Satan's monetary system, and it has to be Antichrist right now. And if you can't see it developing, you got your blinders on, you need to take them off. And you need to separate yourself from the monetary system of this world. Because you're hooked. And that hook has just got you deep. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit will lead you out if you're really His. Led me out. And I'm telling you, it's doable. As Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And remember, that's not you go to pie in the sky, you go to heaven when you die gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom, the one that says the gospel is at hand and you need to repent to enter in. Part of that repentance process is letting go of all that covetousness and all them freebies and all the rewards that the Antichrist system has to offer. Because socialism is covetousness. It's theft by proxy. Yes, the government steals from your neighbor for you. And, you know, the government, you know, the Antichrist government makes a lot of things legal that are unlawful according to God's law. And that's just one more thing, and we have to realize it. But we have to live by faith. And, you know, if I have to, like I said, if I have to suffer want to live by faith, then I'll suffer want. But He said He'd supply all my needs, and all of the things that I need, He said, if I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that all of those things would be added to me. And now, going on 20 years, God has kept His word. And I'm still here, and the bills are still getting paid, and still have food on the table. And as you can see, my cable bill is still paid, so I'm still broadcasting and doing God's work and all the work that He has for me to do. And when that gets cut off, well, then, and you know, and I can't pay the property taxes on the property here, and 4 years later they come and put me off my property because I don't have a mark of the beast to pay the property tax with, then I'll just be part of the church on the move in the wilderness. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to live by faith. And if they want to take me down and cut off my head, you know, convert or die, then I'll do that too, because, you know, all they can do is kill me. And all the promises of God are already mine, because I'm already in His kingdom, and they'll be mine when that time comes. So that's what it means to walk by faith and to let go of all of those things that are holding you back. Okay, let's see. Anything else going on? Mr. Key Clacker over there? Yes. So yeah, I'm going to have to do a little show on that sometimes. Look up all those things about what it's going to be like during the millennial reign of Christ. I don't know if I went that far in depth in those. I don't think I did. Or maybe I did. I don't remember what I did. It all kind of blurs together after a while. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, let's see. LDR in the chat room. I don't think I've seen you before. Have you read my book, LDR? how about Ty? Have you read my book, Ty? I'm sure Jeremy has. I don't know if Blaine has. Has Blaine read my book? I'm waiting. And Gideon? So I got pretty much all new people in the chat room. Borg Cube, laugh out loud. You know, I was kind of looking at that today. I was looking up the New Jerusalem, yeah. And someone had it like a Borg Cube. So I don't know if that, maybe that Borg Cube, maybe that's a slander against the kingdom of God. But I'm sure it won't be green with Borg and we aren't all going to be it. But anyway, that doesn't come until the new heaven and new earth, does it? The New Jerusalem? And I think that may be not quite literal as far as I think it's representative of something. And maybe that's a whole another study about the New Jerusalem. That's beyond the millennium, you know, the new heaven and new earth. But see, I don't even worry about that. I mean, just look at that, being like Jesus and being in a new body that's never going to die. And being able to travel by thinking myself someplace, like he appeared in the room and then he was gone. He appeared on the road and walked with him, then he was gone. And he's cooking fish for him on the seashore, and then they turn around and he wasn't there anymore. He went somewhere else. He didn't have to get in an automobile. So I think that's going to be very cool, you know, things like that. And I won't need a computer. I'll be able to remember everything. And I won't be stupid like I am now using, you know, a very small portion of my brain always forgetting where things are filed up there, because I'm always forgetting words and things. And some people say, oh, you're having a senior moment. Well, I got a teenager that does the same thing. So as far as I call it a teenage moment. So, right? You have any teenage moments over there? Well, she's 21 now, so she's beyond teenager. It's funny when you're like, you're that age, it's like every year makes a big difference. But, yeah. But when you get about my age, just who cares anymore? I mean, there's a big difference between, say, 60 and 80 or 60 and 100, but I got, you know, 30 or 40 years to get there. So, and I plan on doing this for 30 or 40 years if, as long as I can. And until I can't pay my internet bill because I don't have any Mark of the Beast money, well, you'll see me here, okay? Yeah. As long as God wants me here, that's my caveat. That's my only caveat. Okay. Well, we only got a minute or so left, so it's too late for you to call in. So what can I say? Need your support? Like I said, I don't have any socialism going on here. And if my show was called Rapture Ready, they'd be throwing money at me. Or if I had a True News broadcast where we talked about cycles and chins and stuff all the time, they'd be throwing money at me. Or if I had a Catholic on once in a while and entertained their theology, they'd throw money at me. But they're not. There's very few about you out there, so help me out if the Heavenly Father tells you to. Until then.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. We hope that you have noticed that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that.
Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our various affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, like a tithe, missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs on our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We ask you to give much less than a tithe so that you can also send support.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.